Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning, everybody. Alex McFarland here. Very honored to be sitting in for Jeff Shreve. And we have a very special show this morning. And I'll begin with a scripture, John 8:36. Jesus said, "If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed." Freedom. Isn't that a wonderful thing that the gospel can provide people? Is freedom, forgiveness, healing, and wholeness in Jesus Christ. And I don't think I would have to work very hard to persuade many of you that we're in a world where a lot of people aren't free. A lot of people are in bondage, and nowhere has the bondage and the destruction been more pronounced than in the area of sexual sin. So on this show, we're going to talk about why I believe, as a pastor, as a speaker, as an academic, and as just a Bible-believing Christian, I believe it is imperative that the church stand strong and lovingly but clearly speak God's truth on the area of sexuality, morals, and gender. And in a few moments, I'm going to bring on a very special guest that is going to give a lot of insights about this, Janet Boines, who knows firsthand what deliverance from sexual sin is. But let me give you another Bible verse, and I share this out of love for the church. If you know my background, I've been an evangelist and an apologetic speaker, spoken in over 2,000 churches throughout the Western Hemisphere, all 50 states. And I will tell you, it is very rare, incredibly rare, to find pastors and Christian leaders that are willing, on record, and certainly in a pulpit, to speak what the Bible says about homosexuality. God's design for marriage and family is heterosexual monogamy. That's a man and a woman for a lifetime. And we all know over the last really 40 years in America, the homosexual lobby has organized itself. It's become well-organized, well-funded, unrelenting in its insistence on the nation that the homosexual and now transgender, polyamorous, I mean, it goes on and on. The agenda is just unrelenting that it must be embraced, it must be celebrated, it must be mainstreamed and normalized. Now in Colorado and Maryland and Maine and a number of states, there are battles going on regarding in public schools. Do parents, Christian parents, have the right to bring their children out of lessons or classes that would normalize unspeakably immoral things? So it's imperative that the church pray, but Christians, and especially pastors, speak truth. If the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle, says 1 Corinthians 14:8. And I would submit that not all, but many churches and certainly many denominations have definitely given an uncertain message about homosexuality and gender. And one last thing before I bring our guest on, let me say this, that no one is born homosexual. Contrary to what you might think from popular media or just the assumption of the public, science and mental health professionals are not in agreement that people are born gay. In fact, quite the opposite. The consensus of science and psychology is that same-sex ideation, that same-sex attraction, and gender dysphoria are a means of trying to deal with pain. And there are what are called antecedent or contributing factors. When people feel, you know, whether it be in adolescence or young adulthood, when they gravitate towards same-sex relationships, it's not genetics, it's environmental. It's a means of dealing with several types of pain. One of those is lack of bonding with the parent of the same sex. Another is early childhood molestation. Another is early childhood exposure to pornography. Another is other early childhood trauma, such as verbal abuse, domestic violence. And so when we are wounded and we're looking for a place of safety, acceptance, significance, security, very often we will gravitate to wherever we think we're finding that. And so we'll talk about this, but again, think about John 8:36, where Jesus said, now listen to this, folks, Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Well, many that are affirming homosexuality are essentially saying, look, you don't need to be set free because you were never in bondage. God and His Word says differently. Well, to help us weigh in on this from not only biblical truth, but firsthand experience is Janet Boines. And Janet is a speaker and an influencer for God's truth on this subject. Janet, are you there?
I am here, Alex. Thank you for having me on this morning. What a blessing.
Well, good morning, and I thank you for making time to be with us. And I want to weigh in on this subject. And folks, later on in the show, we will take calls if you have questions or you want to, you know, disagree with us. Feel free to do that too. But we truly want to weigh in on God's revelation about this. But Janet, for those that may be unfamiliar with you, give us your background and how God brought you to the ministry that you are currently carrying out.
Alex, thank you so much. First, I want to say to our audience that's listening is that homosexuality is one of the number one issues we're facing in America today. However, yeah. We as the body of Christ worldwide has been challenged to even deal with this issue. And so in talking about this issue and having an understanding of how somebody can go into this lifestyle is so important. Trauma is a lot of the reason why so many of us go into that lifestyle. I was raised in a family of 7 kids, Alex, and 4 different fathers, not knowing who my dad was, middle child. And one of those 4 fathers that raised me was an alcoholic. And one of those 4 fathers, the man my mom was married to, raped me. Many fights in my family broke out, and that was difficult for me because I thought, well, okay, if they're fighting at home and that's how they handle their problems, well, I adapted a lot of those same behaviors. Parents, if you're listening and your children are acting out, you have to ask yourself, what are you doing at home that they are deciding to go out and do what you're doing? And that's what I did. I thought, okay, that's how you handle your problems. You go to school and you beat up all the kids. But I was getting in trouble for it. And think about a young child sitting there beating up kids, coming home, getting in trouble for something you see your parents doing. I didn't quite understand that. I just wanted to be liked by my mom, middle child, never getting attention, getting suspended from school on a regular basis, and then coming home and getting beat, Alex, butt naked. Back in my era, you know, my parents didn't play. I had to take off all my clothes and get beat with a belt. And a lot of people didn't see the bruises on the outside, but they didn't see the bruises inside. I used to follow my sister, my oldest sister, down to her father's house. She knew who her dad was. You see, the man that raised me wasn't really my father, but I didn't find that out until later in life. But me and my youngest sister used to follow her down to her dad's house, the man my mom was married to, all the way up until she passed away in 2020, even though she wasn't with him. And one day he sent my oldest sister, my youngest sister to the store, and then he wound up molesting me. Now, how do I go as a young child and tell my mother, the child who gets in trouble all the time, who's looking for attention, that this man raped me, that you had
And let me say this, Janet. You know, you make a really good point, and I want to say this to everyone listening. You know, I've heard dozens of accounts. People have shared with me that as a child they were molested, and this virtually always comes from a relative or close family friend or neighbor, but the child is too afraid to tell their parent that they've been violated in this way. And then if they did, and I've heard dozens of people say this, you know, I told my mother, And rather than support me and defend me and protect me, they punished me. And so think about the deep layers of fear and shame and pain, like you said, trauma, to have been a little child or pre-adolescent, violated this way. And then when you turn to the one place you should have protection, your mother or parent, and you say, you know, don't ever tell this, be quiet. Or I've had people say that they confessed to their parent that they had been violated in this way and the mother didn't believe them. And that's incredibly painful, isn't it?
It is, Alex, and I'm so glad you said that, because that was the next part of my story. I didn't tell anybody my dark secret. And who would believe a bad kid like me? I mean, getting kicked out of school, and they would have thought I wanted attention. But I waited till I was 21 years old. I suffered in silence. Imagine how many people in our congregation or in our homes aren't talking about this issue, whether a parent has a child or whether there's a child that's struggling with homosexuality. We suffer in silence because those that are in authority, that are our shepherds, even in our churches, won't talk about the issue, so we're not going to talk about it either. Do you know 90% of lesbian women has been sexually assaulted, and 70% of gay men reported childhood sexual assault? This thing is growing. It is.
And you know, I would assume that the numbers are actually probably higher than that, really. But abuse and molestation is the starting point for this in the vast majority of cases, isn't it?
It is so true. It's growing much bigger than we could even imagine. Even when I travel the country and speak and have an altar call, I'll never forget the day at a black church, which I've only spoke at about five, and since 2006, I can count them on one hand, I did an altar call. I've never seen so many black men come forward and said, that was me. That was me. And then out of my peripheral vision, I saw this lady with a cane, Alex, walking forward. And I went over to pray for her, and she said, me too. I lost it. 80 years old. Held that secret for all those years, not feeling like they could go share what happened to them as children. Many of your listeners, many of you that are listening, you might have been molested. You might be looking at pornography or introduced to it. Don't be afraid to tell somebody. Reach out to Janet Boyne's Ministries. Tell somebody so we can get you the help that you need. Because I'm going to tell you, my mom passed in 2020, Alex. I finally dug deep and started dealing with the pain of not only the abuse of my mother, not only the sexual abuse, but the abuse that was done to me. And I finally went and got counseling, EMDR, dealing with trauma, and I'm a better person today for it. As a pastor, credential pastor in the Assemblies of God, I'm not afraid to reveal my pain, because if I can reveal what I've been through, then I believe everybody else around me might feel like if Miss Janet can do it or Pastor Janet can do it, I can go do it too. But my motto was, and a lot of other women that are dealing with homosexuality think, look, I can be a better man than the man that raised me. So I'm going to go out there and live the life of homosexuality. In 1985, I was supposed to get married to a man, Caucasian man. I wasn't marrying a black man because I associated black men, Alex, with rape and abuse. And I thought, I'm never going to live the life my mother lived. I'm never going to have kids out of wedlock, which I didn't. But I haven't been married even at the age of just turning 66, about a week, 67, about a week ago.
Hey, hold that thought. We've got a break. Janet, forgive me. We've got a break. Folks, Ephesians 5:11 says that we are to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. And Satan thrives on keeping people in the shadows, in the pain. But in Jesus, there is light, there is life, there is liberation. Hey, stay tuned. We've got a break. Alex McFarland, Janet Boynes, we're going to come back. Real Truth in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Because of the generous donations provided from listeners just like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives. We have to save them. So please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. Very honored to be sitting in for Jeff Shreve. We are on every day, 4 to 5 Eastern, 3 to 4 Central, and so forth, on Exploring the Word, Bert Harper and myself. Now, for 15 years, really 15 years plus, Exploring the Word is the live Bible teaching show every afternoon on the American Family Radio Network. But I'm very honored to sit in a lot of times when there are availabilities. And this is one of those mornings. And we're talking with Janet Boynes of Janet Boynes Ministries, her website, by the way, Janet, B-O-Y-N-E-S, Ministries, ministriesies.com. And Janet, I want to resume the conversation. Before the break, we were talking about not holding this secret in. And let me say, as an evangelist, I've done altar calls all over this nation, and I really resonate with what you were talking about, like the older lady coming forward. I've been with people who, at an altar, they were getting delivered by Jesus, but weeping painful tears, where for decades they held in secrets, where they were the victim. I mean, they were not the perpetrator of a sin. They were the recipient of violence and sin. And I guess I would just encourage people, as you were doing, to come out and turn to Jesus. And I think Satan keeps people in bondage by secrets, don't you? That it is intimidating to open up, but when the light of the gospel and the light of truth and the liberating power of God's word is introduced to a situation, there is freedom and a fresh start, isn't there?
I agree. If you continue to hide that pain within your heart, it keeps you bound in your sin because there's nobody out there to help you. And that's what Satan wants. He wants you left alone. He doesn't care about you, folks. He's going to hell regardless. There's no redemption for Satan. And Alex, I was telling a couple pastors and friends of mine, I wish we talked more about who Satan is, what he does, how he attacks the men and women of God, how he attacks pastors and God's, you know, sheep. We need to talk more about that, but also we need to talk about, as you talked about earlier, freedom. I want to get to the point of how I got free, because a lot of people think that you can't be free or you're going to walk in this for the rest of your life, and that's not true. You see, I was supposed to get married in 1985. I met this awesome guy. He was Caucasian. He courted me for 3 years, and he asked me to marry him. I got saved, and as soon as I moved to Minneapolis, Minnesota, I went home, and I told my family about not only my newfound faith, but I also told my family about this wonderful guy that I met, and I wind up bringing him home. But in 1985, we were supposed to get married. Alex, 3 months before the wedding, I met this girl and wind up having a sexual relationship with her. I went to my pastor, Assemblies of God pastor in St. Paul, Minnesota, Pastor Tedeschi, and I told him what I did, because Alex, as soon as I was done having a sexual relationship with her, it felt like the Spirit of God just left me, and I panicked. I couldn't sense his presence. He was nowhere around. It was like, what happened? Imagine what Jesus went through when he died on the cross. And all of our sins went. And he asked his Father, why are you forsaking me? That's what I felt like. God, where'd you go? What happened? I didn't understand that my sin has caused me to separate from the Father that I love so much, that I had a great relationship with. But I went and told my pastor, and he said three things, folks. Call off your wedding, tell your fiance, and get some help. I did two out of the three. I told my fiance, I called off my wedding, and I walked away from the Lord. But what I come to realize, folks, is that sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. See, I don't talk about it a lot, but my brother was gay before me, and he died in 1999 of AIDS.
Goodness.
And then
I'm so sorry.
I was with this woman off and on throughout my 14 years. And one day in Maple Grove, Minnesota, I was going past this church, and I was in the car with the woman that I thought someday I was going to marry, going from relationship to relationship. And I saw this church out of my peripheral vision. And just out of the blue, Alex, I said to this girl next to me who was living with me, I'm going to go to that church one day. And you know what? I'm going to write a book and travel the country. What are you talking about, Janet? I didn't even know what I was saying. I don't even know where it came from. Today I know it was God because your steps are ordered. Well, long and behold, 5 years later, I was working at night. I had my own cleaning business, and I told my staff I'm going to the store at 3 o'clock in the morning. This woman was coming out of the grocery store I was going in. And I stopped and I said, ma'am, what are you doing out here at 3 o'clock in the morning with all these groceries? I have a very compassionate heart and I care a lot about people, even when I was in the world. She said, I dropped my son off at school. Now, knowing I'm a black woman, I thought she might have thought I was going to attack her. So I said to her, ma'am, I'm not going to attack you. You can be honest with me. She said, no, I just dropped my son off at North Central Bible College, the dorm, and my bells went off. I thought, oh, my gosh, this woman's a Christian. So I said, well, I used to be a Christian. I went to school there before I walked away from my faith. And I took homiletics and hermeneutics, but I don't walk with God anymore. I'm a lesbian. She pulled out a brochure. And she said, you know, my husband and I are going on vacation. I'm getting groceries for my four boys. Why don't you come to church with me? She wrote her phone number down, and it was Maple Grove Assemblies of God, that church right down the street from me. 2 weeks later, I went to church, and I rededicated my heart to the Lord in 1998.
Amen.
Alex, I never went to look back because I went to a Bible study at the church. This is important, pastors that are listening. I went to a Bible study at the church not knowing what to expect. I was dressed in men's clothing. I shopped in Macy's men's department. I was the dominating one. I thought, you know what, if I can be a better man than my fathers and the man that raped me, I'll treat women with respect. But I couldn't do that. But later, I knew I was going to work, so I dressed the way I always dress. And I walked into this meeting, and I tried to backpedal, Alex, and my feet would not move, so I had to go sit down. And when the women saw me, they had an idea I was coming, but they didn't know for sure. Felt like an AA meeting. They went around, said their name. And when it got to me, I said, my name is Janet, and I'm living a homosexual life. But if you help me, I will serve the Lord the rest of my life. 8 months later, a family of one of the leaders came to me and said, Janet, we've been praying for you. And the Lord really spoke to our heart about you coming to live with us. I sold my house, my girlfriend moved out, and I lived with this Christian family for a year. Let me tell you what the women did. They never looked at me and said, Janet, you look like a man, you need to change. They never said, you know what, you need to put on makeup. They never said that. They said, you know what, we believe you're a new creation in Christ. God's going to change you from the inside out, not the outside in.
Amen.
And I wanted to be just like these women. I wind up asking them to take me shopping, take me to go put on makeup, even though it scared me half to death. I would go to the department store to buy women's clothes, and I ran out the door because I didn't know how to do this thing. I didn't know how to be a woman.
But Janet, let me ask you this. I've often wondered this. When you see females that they gravitate toward being masculine, not feminine. Do you think, you know, embracing one's femininity, a woman dressing like a woman, you know, getting pretty and being feminine, is that out of fear that that will attract another sexual predator?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. I believe that a lot of women, one, that are living a life of homosexuality, really, one, didn't have a very good relationship with their mother, because I didn't, or men
has
mistreated them, and they wanted to be a man. Now, you can't even tell women that are very feminine are in sexual relationships with another woman. And you would never know that unless you see them walking down the street holding hands.
But hey, by the way, let me ask you this. UCLA Medical School 30 years ago, now I don't know if they would say this now, but they 30 years ago, they were saying that one of the main contributing factors is lack of bonding with the parent of the same sex. Mm-hmm. Like a little boy learns masculinity from dad. A girl learns femininity from mom, but when it's a boy that goes into homosexuality or a girl that goes into lesbianism, almost universally, not always, but very, very, very common is there is a lack of bonding with the parent of the same sex. Do you still think that's true?
I know that's true. You are so correct. And that's what we're searching for. That's why I got in a relationship with another woman, because what I didn't get from mom, I thought I can get with another woman. What a young man growing up supposed to have a relationship with dad and have an understanding of what it's going to be like being a man, they wind up gravitating towards other men because they're searching for something that they never had. God's design, folks, is under attack.
Amen.
Design is under attack. We can't bow down to the ideology that we are supposed to, you know, raise our children if they come to us and say, I was born in the wrong body. You know, in Jeremiah 1:5 says, I ordained you in the womb. And I tell folks, if you could have had all boys or all girls, you would have had that. Why do you think you have gender reveals? Because you don't know what it is. God made the decision if you're going to be a male or female. Your parents Amen. Had nothing to do with it.
And it's
Am
something
right,
we can't
you
change.
You didn't have anything to do with your children being a boy or a girl.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's one of the things. Hey, by the way, folks, let me just say this. If you're struggling, if you're listening to Janet and myself, we're saying this, and I believe scripturally, scientifically, in 10,000 ways, we can back this up. God ordained your life. You're not an accident. God ordained where you would be born, in what circumstances, and yes, God ordained your gender. Psalm 16, verse 6 says, the boundary lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a godly heritage. And really what that means is, mm-hmm. you know, Janet, there's a lot of things we can choose. I mean, we can maybe choose a career path or a lot of choices, but who we are in terms of a male or a female, there's just some details the good Lord chose, and they are good choices. God loves you. And mm-hmm. what God is doing, I want to say this, and if you're hearing this broadcast and you're in a place of pain and bondage, God ordained you to hear this because you have an opportunity to find new life, freedom, a fresh start, just salvation in Jesus. God does everything to make it conducive for you to turn to Christ. Now, the one thing he won't do, he will not override your free will. You're going to have mm-hmm. to choose to accept Jesus. But, Janet, gender, maleness, femaleness, that's part of God's beautiful design. But Satan attacks that design, doesn't he?
He really does, Alex, and I'm glad you said that, because the Bible says in Psalm 127:3 that our children are heritage from the Lord. But Amen. One thing you said that I'm really trying to get people to understand, not because Donald Trump signed an executive order that there's only two sexes. The Bible says there's only two sexes, male and female. But if you look up genders, and people can Google it while we're sitting here talking, there's about 72 genders. God didn't say we're genders. He said there was two sexes.
Well,
and so I'm really trying to get people to change from saying genders to sexes.
Well, the world is very confused on that. I mean, Facebook some years ago had 81 or 82. But, you know, Genesis 1:26-27 says God made them male and female. We've got to believe what Amen. God says about human biology.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And you know what's so sad about this is that we have to treat people that are living that life with compassion, understanding, treat them with respect. The church's response should focus on support, potentially involving pastors and counselors, and have an open dialogue. Because the Bible says in what, Matthew 18, if your brother or your sister sins, go and point out their faults just between the two of you. Don't tell the whole church about it. Let's pull them aside and work with them and help them with compassion and love, because that's what the church is for. Amen. I'm not going to put all this on churches, because parents have a responsibility too to teach their children about this issue before the world tells them something that you don't want them to know about it. You would rather them hear it from you first, parents, than hear it from the world or in school, where they're going to a lot of these groups, these LGBT groups, and you know nothing about it. You know, one thing I say to parents, Alex, is do you know how many books on homosexuality are in the media center or the library? How involved are parents when their child says, I'm going to a group at school? It could be an LGBT group, because a friend of theirs that's gay challenged them, said, if you want to be my friend, then you need to come to this gay straight alliance group. Or your children from ages kindergarten to sixth grade go into the media center and they pick up a book which is explicit with sexual things. I mean, it's in there, Alex. There's like over 100 books in a lot of these media centers, and parents know nothing about it.
Hey, we got to take a break. Hang tight. Folks, listen, if you've got a question for Janet or myself, the number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We've got a brief break. We're going to come back and talk with Janet. And Janet's books are available. Her website is Janet Boynes Ministries, B-O-Y-N-E-S, ministries.com. Stay tuned. Really, the tip of the spear in terms of spiritual warfare in our day, homosexuality, gender versus what God says. So stay tuned. We must get equipped to be able to speak to this issue biblically and effectively. And we can. Don't go away. We're coming back after a brief break.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Alex McFarland here. Good morning, America, wherever you may be. May the Lord bless you. Hey, we're going to resume our conversation with Janet Boynes and take some phone calls. But hey, I want to make you aware of something I'm very excited about. Coming up May 4th, so just a week from Sunday, we begin our summer Biblical Worldview Speaker Series. And my first speaker is Dinesh D'Souza, just a brilliant thinker. Maybe you're familiar with Dinesh. He's a number one New York Times bestselling author, a filmmaker. He and I have been friends for about 18 years, and we've done many events together. But check it out, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got a lot of theaters, kind of like Branson, Missouri, or something like that. But we've rented several theaters over the summer. This summer, we're going to have Charlie Kirk. We're going to have Lauren Green from Fox News, Gary Chapman, who wrote The Five Love Languages. But I really want you to pray and spread the word. My website, alexmcfarland.com/conversations. This speaker series is called Conversations That Matter. And Dinesh served in the Reagan White House. He's probably, in my opinion, but I think it's for real, he's probably the greatest living expert on the overlap of government and our constitutional foundation based on biblical morals. And he's going to give some analysis on Trump's first 100 days, where the government is, what about all these rogue judges obstructing good policy, and where the economy is going to be. So it's Dinesh D'Souza, Sunday night, May 4th, Myrtle Beach. The website, alexmcfarland.com/conversations. So please pray. We want to get a strong start to our summer speaker series. One more thing, our youth camps that we've been doing for 25 years. The website is equipretreat.org, equipretreat.org. We've got youth camps in Montana, Georgia, and we've got one in Virginia, not too far from Richmond. And so very, very affordable. It's for middle school and high schoolers every summer in our youth camps. We have hundreds that pray to accept Christ. We teach them how to defend their Christian faith. And so pray for us. A lot going on from now till the end of August, but it's all for the gospel, for the Great Commission, and for the revival of America. Well, somebody who God is using in a great way is our guest, Janet Boines. And Janet, I want to thank you. Before we take some calls, give us your website and where people can find your books, or maybe hear you on tour speaking, or bring you to their city.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much. They can go to www.janetboynesministries.com. I also have a podcast on all podcast channels, Healing in Mayfree with Janet Boynes.
Wonderful. Hey, I want to take a call. We're going to start out in Michigan. Dave in Michigan. Dave, are you there?
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you. I would like her to comment on this. The church I attend does not put anything on their website, their stance against homosexuality, and also they will not say anything over the pulpit against homosexuality being a sin, because they don't want to offend people. And what did she say to that?
What do you think, Janet?
Yeah, you know what? I when I do speak to pastors at conferences alone, that these are some of the things that I talk about, that pastors should sit down with their board and their attorney and talk about this issue. One, it should be on their website what they believe in. You know, the staff at a church should get this issue on where the church stands from the senior pastor. Because if they don't, they're being led down the wrong path. They don't know. So it's very important that we put on all of our websites what we believe about homosexuality, that we believe that a marriage is between a man and a woman. You know, I heard from one pastor one time, if a pastor doesn't want to preach on homosexuality, then they should get off the pulpit. Because this is one of the number one issues we're dealing with in America. So I want to encourage pastors not to be afraid. That's from Satan, because he doesn't want to see people set free. So many people in our congregation are suffering in silence, as I said earlier. But I believe if we speak about it, then I believe more people will be set free.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. And look, folks, this is important. I think every church should have a website. And then on your website, you should have your statement of faith. And let me encourage you folks also, check out something called the Council for Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. 30 years ago, James Dobson, who I worked for personally, some great scholars put together the statement on biblical manhood and womanhood. And I think it would be well for your church to read that and affirm that. It's very truthful, very biblical. Also, in addition to Janet Boynes Ministries, which I highly recommend, there's also another wonderful colleague, Ann Palk, and the Restored Hope Network, just like it sounds, Restored Hope Network. But I want to take another call. Tina in Louisiana. And by the way, folks, the number is 888-589-8840. Tina from Louisiana, welcome to our conversation with Janet Boynes.
Thank you for taking my call. I have my daughter-in-law who has a three-year-old son, and her brother, my daughter-in-law's brother, or excuse me, sister, decided she wants to be a boy. So my three-year-old grandson is very confused with he and she and all the pronouns. And I bring them to church with me. My son and daughter-in-law don't go to church. And I just try to really be honest and let my grandson know He's a boy. Sorry.
No, it's fine. Janet, how do you advise her to minister to her family members in this context?
This is so important, Tina. One, I'm sorry. And it's so important that what you're doing, taking your grandson or granddaughter, those of you that are listening to church, if you have that opportunity and your child's not living for God, take the grandkids. Because the Bible says, you know, I hid the word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. They're getting the word in them. But one thing I want to make very clear, do not support their ideology. Your kids or your grandkids might reject you because you won't support them. But we have to first love the Lord thy God with all our heart and strength and our might. We have to honor him first and foremost. Family comes second. If you continue to honor God, I believe later in life, and you might not be around to see it, that your family, their children, their children's children will honor God as well. If you come from the Word of God, then what do they got to stand for? They figure you say you're a Christian, but you're not supporting what the Word of God says. So keep doing what you're doing. Keep praying because prayer works. And I will pray for you as well. Please reach out to Janet Points Ministries. Let me tell you something we have. We have a group that goes twice a month. I don't lead it. A professional counselor. She specializes in EMDR twice a month for parents that have a loved one that is dealing with homosexuality. If you reach out to the ministry, info@janetpointsministries.com, I will get you involved in that group, and it's online.
And Janet, I love what you said about our first loyalty is to the Lord, right, not family. Now, of course, all of us, and Lord knows I would, we would lay down our life for our family, but our first loyalty must be to Jesus. Janet, I've shared with many a family. In fact, just a couple of months ago, my wife and I were counseling a Christian mother. She worked, scraped, put her kids through college, one son put through law school. And after all of the life of giving and sacrifice, the son that went through law school has just brutally turned against his family and said, either you accept my homosexuality or, you know, I'll abandon all of you. Now, here's the thing. I've counseled this parent, and I said, look, you need try to, you know, don't get emotional or shouting. But here's the thing. If the litmus test for me loving you is to betray Jesus, I'm not going to do that. Because, son, you didn't hang on a cross and die for me. Christ did. I love you. I've proven that 10 ways to Sunday. But I told this mother, I said, you need to say to your child, if the litmus test for me loving you is to betray my Savior, that's a bridge too far. And don't you think it's Alex, just I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
Alex, you are so right. Let me just say this to those that are listening. You can love your child without compromising your morals and your values. And another thing I think is important is that our dads, the men that are in the home, please take your place. I say that everywhere.
Amen.
I go, we need you, we honor you, we respect you, but we need you to become the head of the homes. We need you for such a time as this. You think about the prodigal son. He did not go searching for his son. He might have looked to see if he was coming. But he allowed him to fall into the pig pen. And when he had enough of his sin, he came home. And we embraced them, we loved them, and we get them the best help that we can get. But if I believe that we start getting things in order in our house, I'm not saying that all of our family will come back to their faith. But your children are going to walk away from you if you don't support them. One of my board members' child said the same thing. And guess what? She is back. And she said to her parents, if you would have supported me allowing my same-sex partners to come home with me, I don't think I would ever serve God because you went against the very thing
exactly
that you told me was wrong.
And to compromise in the long run is very counterproductive. Hey, let's go to Indiana. Dave in Indiana, are you there?
Yes.
Welcome.
Just a couple of comments, if I can share my two cents on some of the material that is being approved to go through school. As a parent, a grandparent, and a great grandparent, it is very concerning, and I think that the motive is that they understand the younger that they can indoctrinate these children into their world, the greater the chance of overall change, you know, 10 and 15 and 20 years down the road. So that's what I believe what's going on. Their hope is over the next, you know, generation of kids coming up that they're going to try to change it. I mean, when you get and allow drag queens to go in and talk to our children and think that that's okay, you know, we are a broken society.
Yeah, and they just want to, like you say, indoctrinate the kids at a younger and younger age. So these school children, there's never a time they remember where normal biblical morality was affirmed. Janet, what do you say?
I agree wholeheartedly. If you haven't, I follow a lot of this. This is my whole life. I am compassionate about seeing people set free. But that is so true. The transgender mainly community is fighting with the homosexual community because the homosexual community has went against the transgender community because they're trying to indoctrinate our children. We as Christians have to reject things that are not of God's plan for our life. We have 1 in 4 students identifying as LGBT. Let me finish this. 42% of lesbian, gays, bisexual youth seriously considered attempting suicide back in 2020. And guess who is leading the growth? Our Gen Zs. They are so unhappy because of lack of healing and trauma they endured. It's an illusion, folks, to call yourself a man or vice versa when God created you as a woman. But Dave is correct. If they can indoctrinate our children, they think they won. So we have to fight for our family.
I got to say this, and we're almost out of time, sadly. Janet, 21 years ago, I was working for James Dobson, just great leader. I cannot overstate how fantastic his leadership was. What he said surprised a lot of people, but I think it's true. Dr. Dobson said the LGBTQ agenda is really about ultimately criminalizing Christianity. Because how can you preach the gospel if you can't tell people how to repent? Hey, Janet, we're out of time. We got to converse again soon. Janet Boynes Ministries, thank you for being with us, but thank you for your stand. Hey, folks, the American Family Radio exists to lift up Jesus, to evangelize, equip. Thank you for listening. There's great programming, news, analysis from a Christian worldview, and content that will, I believe, be used by God to set you free. Thanks for listening. Alex McFarland here. May God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. Stay bold. Stand strong for truth.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.